Yeah, those are the notes, four notes at a time, of the tenor guitar. Yeah, we talked about it last week. I hope you caught Arts Live and Local last week with Harriet Balmer, the president of the board, who did a fabulous interview for Coast Weekend. The tenor guitar is all over Coast Weekend this week. I hope you will catch it. But even better, I hope you'll catch the concert. It is happening right now. Fortunately for you and me, it will be available for a while to come. If you want to run over there right now, you can and catch this as a podcast. But I'm sticking around, and you might too. This is Carol here for Arts Live and Local. And that was Jerry Carthy. And he put out this simple CD, Favorite Airs Played on Nylon and Steel-Strung Tenor Guitars, recorded and mixed in Santa Fe, November 2009. Just so we could have something to play special, so we know it's the real thing for the tenor guitar. TenorGuitarGathering.info is where you will find them. If it were a different day, and it will be next year, or it was 2 years ago, I would be in the studio instead of Nevada, and there would be a packed room full of tenor guitar players. Oh, maybe a mandolin or ukulele, certainly a stand-up bass, and lots more. So I'm dedicating this to all the folks who have created, especially our own Mark Josephs, and who have kept the festival going to make Astoria the tenor guitar capital of the world. Seriously, folks, it's true. I think we're the only ones, too. So, I've got lots more happening, though, so stick around. I want to wish a happy birthday to Gina and a happy anniversary to Gina and Hobie. And if I'm wearing a touch of orange today, people are all over the country to remind others and themselves that we need to stop gun violence. This is honoring those who have died from gun violence. And I want to send out healing wishes, speaking of that, to the Nell and the Armstrong families in Durban, South Africa, where guns took the life of a beautiful young man. Sending healing to Rosie and Shanti, to Sue Z, and to Jan N, and all who are in need of healing, body, mind, heart, and spirit. And I think probably that covers all of us. So, what's the best way? Well, you know my answer. The best way to heal and to make life good is through the arts. And my first guests are here from the musical arts, and that would be Helena Graves. Hello, Helena.
Hello, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to hear your voice. And my other guest is Cheryl Capellan. Cheryl?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Helena.
Hi, Carol. So we're in three different locations, and I've got a delightful connection with these two women, because I also sang with the North Coast Chorale, but for a very short period, maybe 3 or 4 years. And Helena, I understand. Am I saying your name right, by the way?
Oh, yeah, for the most part, it's Helena.
Helena, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Helena. For a soft H sound.
Oh, let's get this right. Helena.
Helena, whatever.
You do pronounce the H, yes. Are you Greek or just...
Well, actually, no, I'm Scotch-Irish Welsh.
Okay.
I was I was named for a great aunt.
Okay, because Hellenica is Greece, so I always wonder.
I'm not sure how they pronounce it in Greek. They have different languages pronounce it different ways.
Yes, but you're right. It is one of those names that's all over the world in many, many cultures.
Yes.
And I understand, is this correct, that you have been singing with the North Coast Chorale since the beginning?
Well, just about. I started singing with when they were known as, community choir and, college and community choir. I don't remember the lady's name who was directing us, but she was from across the river. She was an organist in one of the congregations of our churches over there.
So was it connected with the college?
It was at that time. I didn't sing with them for a while because I was working as an LPN and my shift work was prevented me from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got started with them again when Matt Harden.
Oh yes, I remember
organized
him.
Organized the choir as an independent group, and the reason I started, I saw an ad in the paper, and they were going to do a piece by Beethoven, and it was some pieces about nature.
Mm-hmm.
I had sung it before in a little choir that I sang with in Clarkston, Washington, and I thought, oh goody, I could sing it again.
Now, what part do you sing?
I sing soprano.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Let's enlighten folks. We're talking about a concert that is happening next weekend. This is a live concert at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. the PAC, on 16th and Franklin in Astoria. And this is live, not virtual. So it will be Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and Sunday at 4. Three opportunities. You must get your tickets in advance, and we'll let you know about that. Well, I can tell you right now, partnersforthepack.org. You can buy your tickets online and find out more. But in the meantime, I want to go back to this history. Cheryl, when did you come? When did you start singing with the chorale?
I started about 2000. I'd been singing with Cannon Beach Chorale and switched over to North Coast Chorale about that time. And it was because the friends I'd been driving down to Cannon Beach with didn't want to do all that big, long drive anymore.
Yeah, it's a 50-mile round trip. So.
Yeah, it's a long, especially in a winter night. Yeah,
I know. That's Brown's Meat is exactly the same from Astoria as well. But if you said 20, did you say, what year did you say?
2000.
2000. So
yeah.
You came in very early in the game also.
Yes, and I like to bill myself as the president for life because I was president of the chorale for a long time. So I was kind of like a shame trip. Like, do you really want me to be president all these years?
So I was wondering, were you out of the room when they voted officers? Is that how you ended up with the job forever for life?
Well, you know, they found someone to take my place, and that was good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yes. However, and you are, you've got an unusual story. Usually traditionally we think of the basses and tenors as the men's part and the soprano and alto as the women's. What happened to you, Cheryl?
Well, when I first joined the chorale, we were kind of at a low spot in numbers of singers, and there were very, very few tenors. In fact, it seems like tenors are always a bit rare. So I volunteered to sing tenor. So for most of the time I've sung with a chorale, I've sung tenor rather than alto, which is truly my range. And I really enjoyed that. You know, some people will do anything to sit with boys. And
so hold on, though, because I've often wondered this. What is the range difference, the alto and the tenor? What would you say? I mean, is the tenor higher? or her?
No, actually, it's not. It's a bit lower, and and this the alto could go clear up pretty high into the soprano range.
Right.
So, I must say that as an alto, sometimes it's a stretch for me to get into the high range, and as a tenor, sometimes it was a stretch for me to get into the range, you know, low enough that I could sing comfortably. But it's really this particular concert, I'm going to get to sing one song with the tenors. It's kind of our theme song. It's called "How Can I Keep from Singing?"
Oh yes,
and it has a beautiful tenor section solo, and I was really happy to tell Denise that I would be glad to sing that with the tenors, because I've always felt that was it was just such a beautiful piece. So
you know, something you just said, and Helena, let's hear what you think about this. But what you just said, Cheryl, made me think this is the beauty, one of the many beauties about singing with a group is if you can't quite reach those high points or quite reach those low points, there are others who can. And that's part of the joy of being in a group.
Yes, it is. You could fake it, and nobody knows the difference.
We won't ask you how many times.
And that way you don't have to hurt your voice.
Right, exactly. So, Helena, have you always been a soprano? And how old were you when you started singing?
Oh, my goodness, honey. I was 11 years old when I started singing, and I started singing alto in my church choir in Tillamook.
Uh-huh.
My mother was bound and determined she was going to make a singer out of me, I guess.
It worked.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I've been singing in choirs ever since. I don't think I have not lived anywhere where I have not sang in a choir of
good
some kind, whether it be church choir or some kind of a community organization, sometimes both.
So why? What is it, besides pleasing your mother, what was that? What's the joy or the reason to, and of course, at this stage in life, it's doesn't involve our parents anymore. So what's the reason for singing? What does it do for you?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It makes me feel good, for one thing. And that is one way that sometimes I have trouble finding words to express myself. And some of this music does it very beautifully. You can express how you're feeling,
nice.
Whether it's sad or happy or whatever, you know. It's just a fun thing. I do it because I just love to do it.
How about you, Cheryl?
Well, I totally agree with Helena. It's you know, I don't feel that I have a solo voice, but I can read music and I can stay in tune and I can make a beautiful sound along with others, whereas if I were just singing on my own, it might not be quite so beautiful. So
well, that's true, you know, and I've discovered the older I get, the harder it is to sound beautiful, you know. The voice just kind of wears out, but singing in a group, you can still participate and still enjoy some of this beautiful music that we have to draw from. It's just absolutely outstanding.
Has the group always, because this is 30 years, has the group always sung a variety of genre and also a lot of classical?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think that's one of the reasons I like singing in the North Coast Chorale so much is because of the variety of music that we can do. We can do everything from country folk music, like Coming Around the Mountain, to Bach and Beethoven and Mozart. Mozart is one of my favorite composers among the classicals, and it's just fun. You learn music from other cultures, and that's one of the things I've really enjoyed since Denise has been working with us. She brings in all different kinds of cultures and their music. And
can you give us an example?
Yes, we have sung. Well, one thing I remember in particular was when she had us do an African mass.
Oh yeah.
Remember when we did that?
And, yeah.
Where you get the rhythms mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. the African cultures,
mm-hmm.
We even learned a song in Tagalog, which is a Filipino language. When we had a couple of people who were from the Philippines singing with us.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just fun to learn the music of some of these composers in their own language.
Mm-hmm. Well, and music is such a universal language.
Yes, it
works that way. So this concert, I understand there's going to be jazz, gospel, sacred. Anything in particular that is one of your favorites, Cheryl?
Well, we sort of took a little poll to see, because how it's an anniversary concert, what some of our favorite pieces were, but we ended up choosing at least a couple that we had not sung before, and one that I am just loving is a beautiful French hymn, or I guess it's probably a Christmas carol. It's called The Shepherd's Farewell, or Le Dieu des Bergers, and it's we don't sing in French very often. We sung, and I've got to read this to you. I'm a great list maker. These are all the languages I could think of that we've sung in.
Oh, great. Yeah.
English, Latin, Finnish, Tagalog, Spanish, German, a Native American dialects, a couple of different ones, French, and Swahili, which was that Nguzo Saba suite that Helena mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And but this lovely little French tune, I think you'll really, really enjoy.
I would add to that, you've sung stuff in Hebrew.
Oh, yeah.
And Tagalog. From the Philippines, so
right.
Yeah, which you did mention.
Yeah, and then I have to say too that we have sung two Gilbert and Sullivan pieces, Pirates of Penzance and HMS Pinafore, once for one of the featured performances at the Astoria Regatta. Jazz, gospel, show tunes, classical, folk, pop, masses, requiems, Christmas, Hanukkah, opera. Just a really large variety of, and sometimes we've gotten a little bit challenged by some of this. So a couple of years ago,
remember the one we did?
Program called
we did
for the
Carmen
fun of it, because
in French.
To do something that was just fun.
Oh, that was hard for me.
Just for the fun of it.
I forgot to mention
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That was
a fun one. I did that when I had a young person's choir, and we had guitars and drums, and it was a very simple version of the same music, and we just had a ball with it.
Well, what was the, also at Christmas time, that wonderful, it's the story of the child who gives his crutch and all that.
Oh, Amal.
Amal and the Night Visitors.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That was fantastic with all the soloists. Speaking of soloists, I understand Sis True Dequeedy, the fabulous Dequeedy, is going to be singing with you?
Yes, he is. Yeah. And
and the fabulous Dinah Urell as well?
Both of the above.
Woo!
Yes.
This is going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a fun concert, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well,
fun to sing and fun to listen to.
Yeah, and we should tell people that there are only 50 people allowed at this point in the Larson Center, the Performing Arts Center, and it holds 250, but the balcony is closed, and because of the rules these days, and really even more so, just basically to keep the place safe and joyful for everybody, only 50 tickets will be sold for each performance. So you really want to go to partnersforthepac.org. That's PAC, P-A-C, Performing Arts Center. And that is the organization of groups that runs this place. Cheryl, can you tell us something about that?
Well, Partners of the Pack was formed quite some time ago when Class of College was talking about selling the Performing Arts Center. And so we've been working for many years to try to find a solution to keeping it available as a small, reasonably priced performance venue. And so the Partners for the Pack consists of the North Coast Chorale, the North Coast Symphonic Band, KMUN.
Yeah.
And
the big band.
And let me
the big band.
This is kind of a memory thing here.
Yeah.
But you know, we joined together to keep performances going, and then we found a purchaser, and the pack was purchased by a wonderful local person, Constance Wisenen. So now the pack, Partners for the Pack, are working to repair the place and get it ready to perform it again. And I must say that the Partners for the Pack have worked hard to make it a safe performance venue. We have hand sanitizers. We've changed all the bathroom fixtures to touchless fixtures.
Wow.
We've done a lot of necessary physical repairs to the building as well. But and have kept a very high standard of safety going. The North Coast Chorale purchased special masks in which to sing.
Mm-hmm.
We were given permission for soloists to sing without a mask if necessary, if they wanted to do that. But, you know, no one can sit in the first several rows. We've done a lot to make it safe
That's great.
For everyone. And I need to add, though, Carol,
this yes.
is really pretty exciting, that we have a wonderful thing happening if you buy your tickets, and you must buy your tickets online. You can't buy them there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the receipt of your ticket, there's a special privilege that you can go to the Bridgewater Bistro and get 15% off on your meal on the three concert dates.
Wow.
with your receipt, not the ticket stub, but the receipt stub.
Right.
Right. And you must make reservations, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But,
wow. That's a terrific deal.
I think that's a pretty wonderful thing for them to do.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Tony and Ann, thank you for your support, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is great. Again, it's a community endeavor. And it's going to be a terrific concert, and congratulations to the North Coast Chorale, a belated 30th anniversary. I love it. And my guests, Cheryl Capellan, took me years to get that. And my other guest, would you please say your name for the last time?
It is Helena.
Helena, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Helena, all right. Yeah. Helena Graves. Soprano and Cheryl, tenor/alto, and folks, there are lots of pleasures, and I'm sure that the North Coast Chorale would be happy if you were interested in joining them at some point as a singer. You can get more information at the website, and the concert again is Friday and Saturday, the 11th and 12th at 7, Sunday the 13th at 4. At the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, a.k.a. The Pack, on 16th and Franklin, partnersforthepack.org for your tickets. And thank you so much. We had lots more to talk about, but we are out of time. I just want to mention that this group goes traveling as well. They went to Barcelona in the heat of July and had a fabulous time, but probably a little bit warm, but wonderful.
Well, I didn't think it was bad at all. I just really liked it.
Well,
I'm a cold bug.
Well, I was thinking, Helena, you sound like you're from the South, but you said Tillamook. So.
Well, yes, I picked up some of the accent because I lived in Missouri for a while.
Okay.
And so that's where I got it, and then I've associated with quite a few people from the South.
Right. But you don't come from hot countries, so.
No, I don't. I came from Minnesota originally.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, thank you both so much for sharing your experiences, and have a great concert.
Thank you, Carol. And I just wanted to add, this is Cheryl, that we were able to go to Barcelona thanks to wonderful generosity in our community. We had a dinner at Fulio's, a benefit dinner, and
right.
great community support with donations and grants. And so we were able to go because of our wonderful Astoria community supporting us.
Oh, yeah. Well. Yes, and we really appreciated it.
That's a perfect way to close because, again, this is all about community and the arts and healing and support that we all need, especially these days. Okay.
Okay.
See you
thanks,
next
Carol.
Week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this is KMUN Arts Live and Local. And I've got a piece of music, another piece of music from one of the musicians at the Tenor Guitar Gathering. Mishkin lives right here in Astoria, and together with her wife, Jenny Q, they have the Grateful Rain, where you can get some incredible smelling delicious. Just go in and clean your hands, and you walk out smelling fabulous. Let's have a listen to Fallow from Blue and Gold. Thanks for being here, folks.
In her head and she lost her whole world. And let it be said, she was a hardy girl. She wore hands fisted, her tire tracks twisted in an infinite figure eight to the bar. But once on the curve and she spun her and stopped. She lost her nerve and her hands just dropped in her lap. She sat to wait for a miracle of fate for to pick her up in its gear grinding arm. And the grass grew around her and the suburbs seeped city to encircle it, found a little farm, and as she walked from Abolition, tried to find a true vocation, she was lost in the wash of the shadows of the north. One trump in his hand, and he lost his whole soul. Now let it be said that he wasn't born cold. He'd worn his beliefs on the tips of his teeth. He had bitten his own tongue near enough for the cause. But while jumping the ranks and his lips slammed shut, smiled and he nodded and his teeth grew blunt. Sat to wait for a miracle of fate for to spit him out of its gear grinding jaws. And the grass grew around him and the suburbs seeped out of the city to encircle his.
Yeah. So that's Mishkin. And we heard Jerry earlier, Jerry Carthy, our Irishman. And last week we heard from Tyler Jackson. And coming up, and of course, Mark Josephs, our beloved founder. And also we're going to be hearing Gene Mann and Grant Flick and John Lawler. And Tim May and Allison Hilser, Matt Weiner, and it's going to be fantastic. So be sure to check out the tenorguitargathering.info, and just an hour long. It's videos, thanks to Mick Alderman putting them together, and a few of us talking about the joy. And then next year, we'll have a room full of tenor guitar players again. So, and you are here with Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. And I am very excited about an art show that is opening next week. I have looked at some of the work by the artist curator and also read her her curator statement. And that would be Steph Littlebird. Hi, Steph.
Hi there.
Nice to hear your voice finally after the emails.
Likewise.
Yes. And in addition, Steph is the curator, and she's going to do most of the talking in this interview. But I also want to introduce Liz Harris, who lives here in Astoria and is the owner of the Anita Building. And many of you have been there for various functions. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. So Liz is also an artist and a musician, and she has basically been able to produce this show together with Patricia Vasquez Gomez. So hi, Liz.
Hi, thanks for having us, Carol.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that before we get into the heart of this, maybe you can just tell us why, you know, what your connection with Steph is, and why you wanted to bring her in. Because I've been reading about her, but you've known her more, so.
Yeah, that's a good question. My friend Patricia, or Patty, and I decided to apply for a Precipice grant, which is kind of managed by PICA, an arts organization in Portland, where they try to get arts funding to small art spaces that are not nonprofits, I believe, for projects. Anyway, we applied for one of those, wanting to do a show that talked about local history from a different perspective, like an original perspective from folks who are from here originally. And Patti actually introduced me to Steph's work through a show that they had curated at the Five Oaks Museum called This Is Kalapuyan Land. And we both were super excited about what they were doing, mm-hmm. and decided to reach out to Steph, and Steph seemed excited too, and that's how it all started.
Okay. And what did you have to, now you mentioned Precipice. Was that an easy grant to get, or grants aren't that easy? So.
No, I know. That's a really good question. I know. I would encourage everyone from, not everyone, anyone with an arts organization or a project they want to do that's creative to check it out, especially if they don't live in Portland, because I believe they're really trying to support people in other smaller towns, so
nice.
You might have a better chance applying mm-hmm. somewhere like here or another small town. They really want to try to help support art and creative culture in places outside of Portland as well as in Portland. So
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so you reached out to Steph, and I, too, looked at the Kalapuyan exhibit. This is... Well, I'm going to hand it over to Steph right now, because I read what you did when you were brought in on that. Your background, I understand, is Kalapuyan and Grand Ronde, Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. You're an artist and a writer, a native maker, and a curator. Tell us however you want what you are doing and what is motivating you to do this work.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about this. I am a descendant of the Kalapuyan people as well as a descendant of the Clatsop Chinook. So for me, the show in Astoria is a really amazing opportunity to bring local indigenous art to that community, because it is part of our traditional homelands. So the opportunity to work with Liz and Patty on this was just like sort of serendipitous to me, because I am, you know, connected to the indigenous community here in Oregon as well as the broader community. And I love to share my favorite artists with other people. And so, you know, the exhibition that I did in Portland for This Is Kalapuyan Land was Very much focused on remaking an exhibition that already existed for that museum and correcting the history that was included in that exhibition that was, not told from a Native perspective. And a lot of the work that I do is really about trying to tell our stories or share our culture from our perspective, because a lot of the times we're not the ones who get to tell our story. It's usually, scientists or historians who talk about us, but it's actually not often that Indigenous people are the authority on their own stories and their own culture. And so this opportunity to create a show in Astoria featuring local artisans, I just thought was, like, such a beautiful opportunity. And so, yeah, I'm excited. It was actually named in collaboration with the head of the Chinook Nation, Tony Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the name of the show is called Pote Choch, and that's actually the Chinook word for Fort George. So that's what the Chinook called that area, which is it's basically just that word, but in our more close to our phonetic pronunciation in Chinook. And so it's going to feature a bunch of different art from different kind of makers. So you'll see traditional stuff, like you'll see some basketry or weaving, but you'll also see contemporary paintings, and there's even like a cool skateboard that's being
painted.
Custom painted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of really interesting stuff to look at. There's beadwork that will be featured, and it's going to be really fun to come into that space and see a representation of what I think is Indigenous, contemporary Indigenous culture, which is a mix of tradition and then also a mix of, what we do today. And so I'm hoping that people will be inspired by it and also, learn a little bit more about the Indigenous people who actually are, still in their community.
KMUN is now broadcasting a show called Indigify, and it is music. It's on Tuesday afternoons for our regular listeners. And exactly what you're saying there, some traditional but contemporary, these are living people, young people, in fact, who are creating their own music and incorporating, in many cases, some of the traditional music, but not necessarily heard the way we're used to hearing it, and certainly telling the stories, their own stories, and the stories of their communities. So I think that's so important to just today on the radio, that was a very powerful program by people who are doing what you sound like you're doing in the arts, is correcting the record.
Yes,
we're still here. Yeah, look at me. Hello.
Yep.
And yes, oh, you didn't realize I was Indian. Okay, that's fair enough. Now you know. Now what are you going to do about it, kind of thing. So people can open themselves to it because the because, as we say, art is a universal language like music and beauty. And so people will be able to be in touch with it, but then open a whole new world for some folks. So have you been an artist most of your life?
I think that I believe I was born an artist. Some of my earliest memories are of just coloring in a coloring book with my mom. And from that point forward, I just, felt a real connection to the process of making. And so, I've been a creator my entire life. I went to art school to become, a formally trained painter. But I also do so much other things just because I love to create and make things. And so I'm also a professional writer. And so I write for Oregon Arts Watch as a columnist there. And
nice.
So any way that I can express the stories of my community and share our histories and our perspectives is such an honor for me. And so, yeah, it's been an amazing opportunity, just as someone who considered themselves a regular painter to have these kinds of opportunities to help share other people's stories as well.
Good. How did you get the work that we're going to be looking at? Where did it come from? Did you put a call out to artists, or are you already so connected you were able to draw? What?
That's a great question. What's cool is that I definitely have solid connections within the Native community, but every time I do a show like this where, just like This is Calipoyan Land, when we open that show, we put a call out to the community. And what's neat about the Indigenous community is, particularly on social media, very, very strong on Instagram in particular, Indigenous artisans are on there, and so they spread the word. And even if someone isn't even in Oregon, but they're an Oregon tribe, they'll end up finding out about it because we're so connected on there. And so nice. I shared it on social media, but I also have, you know, family members, and also, you know, got referrals to, you know, it went all the way to Tony at the Chinook Nation, and so he helped collaborate. And that's what's cool about these projects is it's a little bit different than a traditional curator where there's probably more formalities. This is very much a community-based effort and, you know, a collective effort to bring people forward.
Well, it's interesting because Tony and the group have a celebration each year, not last year, but most years, across the river from where I am, in the hall. It used to be an old school. I don't know whether you've been over there, but they have a dinner, a traditional dinner, and a lot of beautiful art, which is silent auctioned. And also there are some of their musicians are there as well. But this, I'm so happy that you have brought this to Astoria. Now, you're not going to be having a dinner. We'll have to do that another year, eh, Liz?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll bring that in another time, but these days. So how is, this is opening during Art Walk. You'll be, Liz, why don't you tell us the logistics?
Oh, sure. We're going to have an opening celebration next Saturday, June 12th, from 4 to 7. So anyone going around looking at other exhibitions can walk by ours pretty easily, too. And after that, we'll be keeping open hours on the weekends. Or you can always get in touch if you're in town another time. I'm happy to open it up. I'm just not going to be holding regular hours in the week.
And your address is 1312 Commercial.
Yes.
On the north side of the street, and it is a great space, folks. I've been in there for so many different things, and Liz is very good at making it available to the community for the arts, mostly. So this is the historic Anita Building. Where did that name come from?
Oh, well, when I came into this space, anybody who walks by, you can see in large, all capitals, it says Anita in the entryway, which I was real curious about and looked it up. It's an old dress shop that used to be here.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think it was like the Ross of the 60s and 70s.
Oh, that's great.
A small West Coast chain.
Oh, wow.
I love it because sometimes I'll hear from people who are like, I used to go buy my prom dresses there.
Oh, wow. That's great. So, I had no idea. So,
yeah. I figured it already had a name, and it's a pretty name, so let's go with that.
That's perfect. Okay. And so this is, and then you'll have, this show will be up all summer.
Yes.
Steph, where do you live? Are you in Portland, or?
Well, you know, I grew up my entire life in the Portland metro area. I was actually born in Banks, Oregon.
Cool.
My grandma lived in Seaside, and spent a lot of time in Astoria and Seaside, so I'm very fond of that area. But I actually, last September, moved to Las Vegas, so I live in Las Vegas, but I'm in Portland. I'm in Oregon right now. So.
Okay. Wow, that is quite a switch.
It is.
From the Pacific Northwest to Las Vegas. Okay, so are you still making art, Steph?
Oh, yes. I work, I am just kind of switching into a new career as a children's book illustrator.
Ooh.
And so my first books and covers will be coming out in the next year. And, so I've sort of shifted my career a bit and working on that in this upcoming year, really, to sort of fully shift that over. But I'm also a professional writer, so, I do that full-time. But I make art all of the time. I have a full commission schedule each year. I usually book out my entire year in January. And so, yes, wow. I'm kept very busy by all kinds of projects.
Now, how do people find you?
The easiest way to find me is if you do have social media. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at ArtNerdForever. literally the words art, nerd, and the word forever, because I love art so much. And also, I also have StephLittleBird.com if you want to take a look at my visual work.
Okay. And when you mentioned the children's book, I know we're getting a little afield from this show, but I'm curious, are you writing and illustrating or working with other people?
So right now, because I'm so fresh into the industry, I am just working on illustrating other people's stories, but it is my hope that I will eventually be writing and illustrating my own.
Great. So let me just tell you what most KMUN listeners know, that five nights a week we have children's bedtime stories. And we've had it from the very beginning, 38 years of them. And that's Sunday through Thursday at 8 p.m. So when you get something, now, of course, we are radio, but when they're gorgeous illustrations, people tell what's on the page as well. So keep us in mind, we also have Skinnamarink on Saturday mornings from 11 to noon, and we have stories and music for children. So keep that in mind. I wish we were here. I am here in the parking lot. I wish we were all here together in the studio, but you'll be coming back. And Liz is also a local artist and musician. I don't know if you're working on anything of your own right now, Liz.
Oh, I relate to what Steph's saying. I'm probably working on too many millions of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing hard labor right now. We just put in new wood floors on Anita. That's been
the
main project. They will debut at this show. You can come see some beautiful oak floors. I paused a couple of music projects in order to focus on this show and the flooring project. But I've got some new music releases coming in fall or winter. And
So you will be at the at Anita's next week from 4 to 7 as well, right?
Yep.
So people can meet both.
Yes, Steph, are you? Patsy will be here too, Patricia.
Patsy will be here. Steph, will you be here?
Yes.
Oh,
now,
good.
I encourage anyone to come to the opening reception next Saturday because I will be there as well as hopefully many of the artists will be as well, so everyone can meet and ask questions.
Fantastic. Okay. Can you tell us, because I was not familiar, I had heard the name, but I'm not familiar, where is the Kalapuyan Nation located? Is that near here somewhere, or?
That's a great question. Actually, the Kalapuyans are more like an ethnic group, and there are many bands and tribes underneath of them. So I am from the Atsalati Kalapuyan, which is, they were sort of centralized in the Beaverton, Tigard, North Plains, and Banks area. But there are Kalapuyans who go all the way down to, like, Eugene, and there are different tribes depending on the region. So, yeah,
is it mostly North Pacific Northwest, though?
Yeah, mostly down, I would say, like, you know, basically following, you know, the I-5 corridor, essentially, there are tribes up and down that that stretch, and many of them are Kalapuyan.
Okay. And have you found, obviously you found plenty of Native artists. Have you found that there are more young people getting involved in the arts? I sense that the older people come from traditional, I'm talking elders, come from traditional life ways, even if they've been broken up and made difficult. But what about the youth and the young people? I have no idea how old you are, mind you.
That's a great question. Actually, the Confederation of Tribes that I belong to, the Grand Ronde Confederation, is 27 tribes in total. But we have, when you said Lifeways, that's actually the name of a class that our tribe puts on in Portland for local tribal members. And basically, you can go there and you can learn traditional weaving, you can learn traditional carving, you can learn really any of the traditional life ways of the tribes of that confederation. So that's cool because the tribe has really put a lot of effort into carrying those traditions forward and teaching the specific crafts of the Columbia River to the new generations. And mm-hmm. so there are a lot of artists like, you know, one of the artists that's included in the show in Astoria is a young carver, but he was taught by master carvers, you know. And so nice. I think it's important to show that work because it's exciting to know that the younger generation is definitely carrying on tradition. But then a lot of them are experimenting with it, too, which is so fun to see, you know, those traditional styles that you might associate with carving be translated into contemporary painting and, mm-hmm. You know, like the skateboard design, things like mm-hmm. that, where you're like, wow, I would never have imagined it on this thing, you know, or in this way. And so it's fun to see the tradition meld with the contemporary.
Absolutely. And I don't know about, well, I sense that you guys are too, but we're all believers in the arts, the healing arts. And so for everybody, so when I hear that the young people are attracted and that the older folks are encouraging them and teaching them, mentoring, it always gives me hope.
Yeah, that's definitely within our culture. The practicing tradition is medicine. It's medicine for your heart and your spirit and your mind. And so, you know, learning those things is not only good practice just for being a part of your culture. It's actually like healing and, you know, part of that reclamation process from colonization and losing much of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, if you're anywhere in this area or you can hear my voice, you got a whole week to get here. And then the show will be up all summer. But next Saturday, Steph Littlebird, the curator, and our guest today will be there. Liz Harris is going to be around. We're not letting her leave Astoria, so we're safe on that. And Patsy is, how do you pronounce her name? I'm sorry.
Patsy or Patricia?
Yeah. She will be there next week as well. And she was part of putting this all together. And so that would be great if you can get to the Anita Building, 1312 Commercial, between 4 and 7, during Art Walk, Astoria Art Walk, on the 12th of June. And then come back anytime during the summer and bring other people. And I'm sure that this show is an all-age show.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Steph,
it is accessible, the building.
Yes. Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Good. Okay. And there will be, I don't know if people are going to be asked to wear masks. I personally wear. Yes.
Good point. Yes. I mean, the show's a bit of a different circumstance. There will be a few more people here because, as Steph mentioned, there's going to be a lot of the artists present.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are planning to attend the opening, but we are going to limit capacity for normal gallery hours. Mm-hmm. And we are asking that folks are masked indoors.
Yeah. Good. Good. I believe that we all need to keep wearing our masks. We've seen that it's decreased the flu and lots of other things. So why not? So, and wearing a mask is an act of love. And art is an act of love, so it all goes together. Thank you both very much for being here. Steph Littlebird, the curator for our exhibit. Poch,
yep.
Get that right? Okay. And this is all Indigenous art. from the area, Northwest Indigenous Art. And Liz Harris, the artist and musician and proprietor of Anita. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. And folks, I'm going to ask Nevada to play a little bit of Barbara Ann Gaidosh's music. Barbara Ann Folksinger is going to be playing at this week's, it's the first, let me see, I wrote this down. Yes, it's Klatskanai Market on Saturday from 10 to 2. It's their first market, and that's where I met Barbara Ann making music. She and Richard T. will also be playing at Winecraft Saturday night, and those are Art Walk Nights or Art Walk Day from 2 to 5 in Gearhart. Sparrow Dance is joining the galleries, and 5 to 7 in Seaside. It's their 17th year. Can you bring up the music? And tomorrow is, tonight is Il Waco Art Walk from 4 to 7, so it's about to start. And Andy Sterling is at the Salt Hotel and Pub. Pearly Shell Fiber Arts, Time Enough Books, Skywater Home and Gallery, Don Nisbet and Son Joe, Louisa Mack with Penny Treat and Marty Kilmer, and Susan Spence and Marie Powell and David Campiche at the Marie Powell Gallery. Get out there, see the arts, feel the arts, take the healing in, support your local radio station and your local arts, and let's all work together to make this place work. Here's one last thing I want to tell you. My guest next week will be Dita from the Lower Columbia Q Center. Happy Pride Month, and the LCQC is celebrating. You need to get your tickets now, this week, for the June 11th Gala and Pride Weekend. The gala is Friday from 7 to 10. Everything's happening at the Barbie Matinee. Only Friday night needs tickets. You can go on Saturday and Sunday for the rest. And Dita will tell you all about it next week, but get the tickets for Friday night now. And, of course, for the North Coast Corral as well. Thanks for being here. And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. Thanks, folks. Carol signing off. This is Barbara Ann. Barbara Ann.
The wild blackberry vine.
Stay tuned.
The sand beneath my feet is a cool silver gray. The moon dances on the water.